Welcome to Right Here in Mass. We're a weekly podcast that features individuals throughout the Bay State who are on our radar and should be on yours. From the Berkshires to Boston, Cape Cod and the Islands, tune in to learn about who you should know right here in Mass. Welcome back to Right Here in Mass. Today's guest is Rick Sullivan, the president and CEO of the Western Mass Economic Development Council. Prior to heading the EDC, Rick has built a successful career being Governor Deval Patrick's top advisor and serving as Secretary of the Executive Office of Energy and Environmental Affairs. Additionally, he has served as Chairman of the Massachusetts Water Resources Authority, the Energy Facility Siting Board, in the Massachusetts Clean Energy Center, and as Commissioner of the Department of Conservation and Recreation. That is a long title that you have and very impressive, Rick.
Thanks for letting everybody know I can't keep a job.
So. All very exciting stuff. And I'm really looking forward to having you on the show. And I know our listeners will enjoy it too. And so I'd love if you could share more about you and what you currently do.
Sure. Currently, I am president and CEO of the Western Mass Economic Development Council, which is a membership-based organization that is committed to helping grow the economy for everyone in Western Massachusetts. And there has been a real focus on everyone. This is not just efforts that we take for the benefit of our members, although we certainly hope they benefit our members, but we really are looking to create an economy that everybody can participate in, creating jobs that pay living wages and just provide economic opportunities and better the quality of life for everybody in Western Massachusetts. So I kind of come to this work. You kind of went through my career with the state, specifically in the Patrick administration. And prior to that, I was mayor of city of Westfield for almost seven terms. So it was a bit of a run there, 13 and a half years as the mayor. And, you know, prior to that, I am a lawyer by training and background, although I have not actively practiced in some time now, but married to my wife, Lisa, who's a realtor in Western Massachusetts, very successful. And we have three kids, all married, and six grandkids. So, you know, there's a lot going on. Yeah, they're all under four and under. So it's it's a active time in the Sullivan household.
I love that. And what inspired you or encouraged you to join the EDC?
So I do think it was really a commitment trying to, you know, grow our economy, better the, you know, really the quality of life in Western Massachusetts. It is something that, you know, I do hold near and dear. It's probably one of the reasons why, you know, I was mayor, you know, fortunate enough to be mayor for as long as I was, you know, a real commitment to the community and into the region. And, you know, I mean, some of it was also just lucky in terms of timing that, you know, there had only ever been one previous CEO at the Western Mass Development Council, and Alan Blair, and he was retiring. So it was just kind of timing wise, it worked really well. So in some ways, even though I never left and commuted to Boston every day for 7.5 years, in some ways it was kind of a coming home. So it was just a really good fit.
Sounds like it for sure. And for those who aren't from the western part of the state, could you give like a brief overview of the history of the EDC and what prompted the focus to improve the economic aspects of that area?
Sure. So you know, the council itself really came out of activities that were undertaken and policies that were created by then Governor Weld, who really recognized that, you know, the different regions or the different parts of Massachusetts had very different economies. So the economy in Western Mass is not the same as in Boston, is not the same as Cape Cod. So, you know, he challenged each of the regions in the state to create a you know, plan for progress, if you will, which was really spearheaded by the Pioneer Valley Planning Commission. And as part of that, there was a focus on economic development, specifically job growth, specifically, you know, really looking to create better jobs and improve the economy. And, you know, the business leaders at the time, so, you know, you're talking, you know, 30 years ago, got together and said, well, if that is really going to be part of the plan of the region, then we as the business leaders really should be spearheading that growth and those policies and come together and really plot the course, if you will. So fortunate that the business leaders that were then present got around the table and did exactly that. And, you know, in the early days of the EDC, it was a lot of really focused on kind of what I'll call traditional kind of job creation. So it was, you know, industrial parks, and we have two affiliates, Westover Metropolitan Development Corp and West Mass Development Corp, both of which predated the EDC, and focused on just that. So they built almost all of the industrial parks in our region, at least over the last 30 years or so. And the business model was leasing of property, sales of property, in some cases, building or rehabbing and having tenancy. So it was a true kind of development organization that was really focused on, you know, job growth in particular. Certainly bringing in businesses, growing businesses that are here, knowing that they contribute a lot to the economy in terms of certainly property taxes, but employment taxes. They make the contributions to the little leagues and the church groups and the Girl Scouts. And so, you know, understanding that, you know, the business really does a lot in the community in terms of having a spiral, positive spiral effect on our economy. So when I kind of came along, the board was really looking to kind of get a bigger seat at the table, if you will, statewide in terms of helping to set policy on some of the bigger issues that impact, certainly impact business, but also impact quality of life. So things like workforce development, taxation, the environment, public education, public health, you know, the things that when you sit there and say, why do you live in a region or a state? What are the things that define quality of life, and really looking to have a seat at that table? And that is something that Western Mass, I think, was missing in large part. And I think over the last, you know, 8 years that I've been here, I think we have increased our influence, and we do get called upon as an organization to have that seat and be part of that discussion, and really to elevate, if you will, the importance of Western Massachusetts in the statewide economy, and understand that we are, you know, we are different than Boston. You know, our economy, sure, is dependent on what happens in Boston in that kind of turnpike corridor, if you will. But our economy here in Western Mass is also as dependent upon the north-south. So the 91 corridor into Connecticut in particular, but, you know, even up to the north. Those are very important corridors for us that really, in many cases, having a company, you know, come to Connecticut close to our borders has much more opportunity in terms of people to live in Western Mass and work in Connecticut, or, you know, for our companies here to be in the supply chains of those Connecticut companies, even in many cases, more so than if that company were to locate in Boston. So, you know, we are as we kind of like to say, at the crossroads of New England. So we kind of are in the middle of things, but, you know, making sure that the policymakers and the elected officials are great, because we have a wonderful state delegation here from Western Massachusetts. But really, you know, the Boston-based elected or the statewide elected officials, they really need to understand that Western Massachusetts is different, and we need a voice at that table.
Absolutely. Which is really impressive to hear all that's happened in the past 30 years of the EDC. And I know that this might, I don't expect you to know this off the top of your head, but can you share any results or statistics that have come from that have, in terms of businesses coming to the area or job growth that's happened?
Sure. I mean, I think if you look at almost all of the industrial parks in Western Massachusetts, you see who those tenants are. So, you know, I mean, the one that, you know, is going to come to the top of my mind first is C&S Wholesale Grocers, you know, came into Westfield in an industrial park that was owned and operated by West Mass Development Corp, which was a affiliate of the Western Mass Economic Development Council. So, you know, the work that's done on the private side of Westover Air Force Base is done by Westover Development Corp. And again, that's a current affiliate of Western Mass EDC. So you can pretty much, you know, drive around and take a look at the companies that are in those industrial parks. And for the most part, there's at least some role that we played at the EDC, having them come in. You know, we've been good partners with CRRC, you know, they're an EDC member, so the rail car company. MGM is one of the more recent, companies since I've been here that have joined the EDC. So we certainly have been supportive, you know, of their mission and the work that they do and the job creation that they have, in fact, created. Mm-hmm. So that's what, you know, we are not necessarily the ones that are going to be the first ones standing out front to say, hey, this happened because of us. But, you know, we tend to be more of a background organization that helps to coordinate, you know, the tax incentives and the conversations that happen on the early end of the discussions, and then supportive of the company moving forward.
Love that. And you had mentioned that businesses and organizations can become members of the EDC. So for our listeners who are based in Western Mass, can you talk more about what being a member entails and the benefits they'd receive?
Sure. So, you know, we've got about 93 members right now. So we, when I came in, we had about 56. So we have grown the organization in the last 8 years or so. And it really is the importance, I think, and the most important benefit, if you will, that a member gets is really to be around that table. So if you look at our board of directors, it is in our members, for that matter, it is, you know, the CEOs, the presidents, you know, the individuals that are the decision makers at the companies that are the members. And it is to have that voice heard. You know, we are not we are not a chamber of commerce. We're very fortunate that the Springfield Chamber and the East of the River Chamber are both affiliates, and they do a lot more of the kind of networking, if you will, or the, you know, the after fives and the breakfasts. And, you know, we do not have a kind of a list of membership, so there's not cheaper insurance by joining. This is really an ability to be able to come together with the other companies that really drive our economy here in Western Massachusetts and set that much larger agenda for the region.
Mm. And as the president and CEO, what does your role specifically entail? And what would you say is your favorite part about that?
So, you know, it still is a role that, you know, has me out in the community, working with businesses and trying to get through, you know, if you want to call it red tape or the bureaucracy of coming in and locating a company here, to be able to go out and bring those parties together and convene all of the different agencies that have a role to play in having a company come here, particularly when you're looking at incentives, whether it's at the local level and your mayors and your city councils, or whether it's at the state level for investment tax credits or whatever those might be, the different state agencies, kind of the alphabet soup, if you will, of state government, bringing them all together in one at one time in one meeting and one convening to be able to make that pitch and sell the region. So I think that is, you know, a part of the job that I love. I mean, I certainly have, you know, 93 members, and, you know, every member has perhaps a slightly different definition of what value would be to mm-hmm. them and why be a member. Some are certainly happy to look at it as almost a civic responsibility to be part of that conversation and understand that if the economy in the region does better, they as a business will do better. Right. Some members are going to be a little more transactional and want to see that, you know, we've joined and we pay a membership fee. So, you know, are we getting some business back either through direct policies or direct actions of the EDC, or perhaps maybe even from some of the other members that they've been introduced to? So, mm-hmm. you know, it does all depend. Right now, the biggest issue clearly facing all of our members here, and this is not an uncommon problem across the state or across the country, is workforce. It's finding people to take the jobs, finding people that, you know, will take promotions, to find the people to, you know, be able to retain them as they grow in their capacity and into their career pathway. So, right. You know, that is clearly the biggest issue. So there are definitely members that some of the initiatives that we've undertaken see some real value and have seen some really good results in some of the workforce development projects and initiatives that we've undertaken.
Yeah. And I'd love if you could expand more on those workforce development issues that you've been focusing on, because like you mentioned, it is a really timely thing that's happening everywhere. So I'd love to hear what the EDC has been doing.
So, I mean, aside from the work that we do in terms of You know, working on statewide policies and statewide programs. You know, we have begun a couple of programs here, which is, again, a bit of a departure from certainly how the EDC started. But we're working with Ann Candillis has a program that is Springfield Works, which is part of a project that is, it's probably about 6 years old now, originally started by some grant opportunities from the Boston Federal Reserve. Working with individuals and understanding barriers for them to enter the workplace. You know, our urban cities in particular, and again, this is not an uncommon problem for urban communities, many of the individuals are not participating in the workplace and actually have not participated in some cases for generations in the workforce, and which doesn't mean they don't want to work or that there aren't some skills that they have. They may need some skills training and some upskilling, if you will, but understanding the barriers for them in terms of entering the workplace. So whether it's childcare or healthcare or transportation or housing needs, you know, a true understanding of what every individual's barriers are and then helping them overcome those. So, you know, one of the things that's an offshoot of that work has been we led the way. We were the authors of the Cliff Effect Bill in Massachusetts, which has created a pilot program, which will hopefully start this calendar year, which will look to bring individuals into the workplace that have not participated before, get them the skills that they need, get them, you know, realistically, we're probably talking about an entry-level job, but then it's incumbent upon the employers, and by employers, we're talking our members, who then need to understand that that first job is great, but then there needs to be a career pathway so that that individual is now going to earn a living wage, which is not a minimum wage, it's a living wage. And again, appreciating the barriers that they face. But the other thing that the pilot will do is it will hold the benefits that they currently receive as public benefits harmless. So it will basically freeze those and allow the person to work and still collect the benefits without a cliff effect. Because right now what happens is if that individual goes into the workplace and works even a part-time job at a minimum wage, their public benefits, whether it's housing, childcare, SNAP benefits, in some cases transportation or cash benefits, there's an immediate cliff. And so those benefits tail off rather dramatically, rather quickly. And so at the end of the day, there's no incentive to work. So what this program is looking to do, when we believe in the long run, it will in fact save the Commonwealth money in terms of less benefits being paid. And in the short run, we don't believe that other than the administrative fees, we don't believe that it'll actually cost the Commonwealth any more money to freeze the benefits, allow the individual to work, get to that living wage, which we understand is probably going to take 2 or 3 years to get there realistically, probably require some additional training and education. And we're very fortunate in Western Massachusetts to have a great sector of higher ed that's internationally known and quality is very good, all of whom are, for the most part, members of the EDC and active with us. So we've got the resources to be able to make this program work. So there will be that pilot that will be going at the same time as Ann's Working Cities Springfield Works program. And then we've got a third initiative, which is called the Anchor Collaborative, which has a workforce component to it, which is our anchors. And really any business could be an anchor, but we have kind of started with our larger companies. So the Bay State has clearly been the leader. Mark Kerouac has been really leading this initiative, and we're kind of, you know, following his lead, if you will. Big Y and UMass and a lot of our other colleges and universities are anchors, and they make a commitment to certainly procure locally, so bring smaller local companies into the supply chains where that's possible, but also to hire locally. And again, looking for an understanding that they may have to do some training in-house. They have to have a real understanding of the barriers the individuals are facing in order to get into and stay in the workplace. And so, you know, that program has started, and we are expecting that it is going to move the needle in terms of labor workforce participation rates, but also, again, raising that standard of living and quality of life for, you know, a lot of individuals that people might not necessarily think that an economic development council would be focused on.
Yeah, I think it's amazing to hear all that you're doing. And I especially love the Cliff Effect bill where you mentioned that it gives people the opportunity to participate in the workforce without worrying about no longer having those benefits. So almost like they won't, of course, they'll have some stress in some sense, but I think less stress and less anxiety about how they're going to be able to afford things and about the barriers that they'll be having if they're given that opportunity to enter the workforce and still have those benefits to support them in that aspect. So I think that's truly remarkable.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's a real understanding of the fact that, you know, individuals make the best financial decisions for themselves and their families. Mm. And so, you know, there has not been a real incentive. In fact, there's actually a disincentive to go in and work or to maybe take a promotion or to stay in the workplace, where this kind of turns that on its head. And from a good business point of view, and that's the one thing, is that we've only asked companies to participate if it made business sense for them to do that. This is not charity work. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a good business growth plan. But this actually now incentivizes people to come in and to work and to stay in the workplace, take that promotion. And so, you know, again, it's a pilot for a reason. We think it makes really good sense. But, you know, you asked, you know, what kind of makes you tick in this job, or, you know, and this is one of those ones that I do think we're leading here. And certainly Bay State and Big Y and all the other anchors I talked about are leading here. But I do think that we can make a real difference.
Absolutely. And one of the things that you had mentioned earlier in this conversation was talking about selling points for getting businesses to come to the western part of the state. Mm-hmm. And I imagine that those selling points vary depending on the business and their size. But what would you say are the selling points of Western Mass?
So I'll put on my salesperson hat here. So, you know, aside from the obvious ones in terms of location, you know, we are obviously, I think, well situated. Certainly all the transportation options are here. Don't forget that, you know, Bradley International Airport, which even though it's in Connecticut, it is our regional airport. They are an EDC member. And that has grown, which is really good. So from a geographic standpoint, you know, I do think we're extremely well located. But then, you know, if you look at the cost of doing business, it is cheaper here. It is just because our name ends in Massachusetts doesn't mean it's the same price as doing business in Boston or Cambridge or Somerville. It's not. Right. It's less expensive. You can get, you know, kind of more bang for your buck, if you will. And that includes power rates, particularly if you look at some of our municipal gas and electrics that we have here in the region. We can be competitive. You know, we're never going to be cheaper, you know, than Oklahoma, if that's what you're looking at. And that's the only thing that matters to you. I'm not going to be able to get to that number, but I can get competitive with many other parts of the country on power costs. And then, you know, we have, again, I mentioned it before, but, you know, we have, you know, a really quality sector of higher education. Mm. And that's really two things, I think, for a company. Number one is many of the companies, depending on what sector they're in, but many of the companies are interested in research and development. And so they want to be close to where they can do that work and stay on top of the latest trends. So, you know, I mean, obviously UMass Amherst is the flagship university for the Commonwealth. And, you know, they are steeped in research and development across many, many sectors, whether it's clean energy or manufacturing, water technology. I mean, it really goes across all the different sectors. And, you know, we've got many other colleges and universities, whether it's Smith or Western New England. And I'm going to get in all kinds of trouble with my members here because I don't mention all their names. But, you know, they all have something to offer when it comes to research and in development. And, you know, as importantly right now, when people talk about talent and needing employees and the people they're looking for, it's the students that are sitting in their classrooms. That is right. The talent. So, you know, come to where the talent pool is And I think Western Massachusetts can make a very compelling case that, you know, we can help produce the workforce that you're looking for. And, you know, while we would certainly like them all to stay here and grow and prosper, you know, we understand some are going to move away. Hopefully when they come back and decide they want to raise a family, they will come back and take a look at Western Mass again. And that's the other thing, is that we have a quality of life here that I think is envious of, many people will be envious of. And again, it's cheaper to live here. But, you know, we have outdoor recreational opportunities. We have great travel tourism venues. You know, it's a rich culture out in Western Massachusetts. So there's a lot to offer. And when you define the quality of life issues, you know, you really do have it all here in Western Massachusetts. And if we don't have it right here, guess what? It's, you know, you can get to the seashore in an hour. So, yep. You know, it is really truly all here. And you can get to Boston and New York, or you can go, you know, take a hike up in the mountains. So, you know, it is an attractive package. So, you know, right now, not only is it a great place to come and visit from a travel and tourism point of view, it's a great place to live. And guess what? We have jobs. So I do think it's a compelling argument for Western Mass.
Well, you sold me.
There you go.
And one of the things that you mentioned was travel and tourism. And I'm specifically thinking of the fall with the beautiful foliage that you see out in Western Mass. And so is that something that you support your members or the economy out there with, is like the seasonality that they might see where things are super busy at one time of year and maybe right. kind of veering off and falling down a little bit later on in the year?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously fall and leaf peeping, if you will, is a big part of our travel and tourism economy. And when I was with the state and in charge of the state park system, you know, it was interesting because we actually had to put more staff on in the fall in Western Mass just for that reason. But, you know, we have an affiliate, the Convention and Visitors Bureau, which is headed up by Mary Kay Wydra, who does a phenomenal job. So we absolutely support her efforts in terms of travel and tourism. And they do a lot of outside marketing and look, as opposed to internal, they're really more external, trying to bring people in and turning the day visitor into a, you know, an overnight visitor or a weekend visitor or a week. You can fill the schedule here, whether you're going to Yankee Candle or the casino or, you know, Seuss or the Basketball Hall of Fame. I mean, the list is kind of endless. There's a lot of things to go on and you know what, throw in a fun ride at Six Flags as well. So we support Mary Kay, but her organization, which is again an affiliate, is really focused just on that travel and tourism and hospitality sector. So in that one, we kind of leave that to the experts and we play much more of a supporting role. But we do absolutely recognize hospitality, travel and tourism, Convention and Visitors Bureau as a really important sector in Western Massachusetts, and one that I think is growing and one that, you know, Mary Kay and her team do a great job promoting.
Yeah. And you've mentioned affiliates a few times, and I think that's wonderful that you partner with many other organizations and understand that's not just a silo, but really knowing that all coming together can make a huge difference for businesses and individuals in the area.
Yeah. And that's kind of the role we like to play. I'm going to quote Charlie DeMora, who's a member, but he likes to you know, remind us that we have a convening role to play at the EDC, which is, you know, to bring everybody together, everybody that does some aspect of economic development, and hopefully get everybody onto the same page and working together, and certainly not working in opposition to anybody. And, you know, to be supportive where we can, of all the work that they do, so that at the end of the day, you know, we're all working in the same place for the same reasons, and hopefully we can get better results when we kind of amplify our work and our voices.
Absolutely. And over the past several months, there's been talks of a potential recession, which has caused many businesses to make various decisions based on how that might impact them. Mm-hmm. Has that been something that your members have brought up to you and have like sought support with?
Sure. I mean, you know, we're always trying to, you know, find out what the pulse of certainly our members are, but, you know, statewide and, you know, in terms of a recession, it would really be national, right? So, you know, people are, you know, cautious. I think for the most part, business people really like to have the economy and the stock market and, you know, all the other indicators out there to be stable, and don't like surprises. But I think everybody understands nowadays that you also need to be pretty nimble. You certainly saw it during the COVID, particularly in the beginning when you had some of our manufacturers that, you know, they weren't going to be making some of the products that they made because there wasn't a need for it at the moment. You know, they kind of pivoted and started to do PPE, you know, mm. whether it was the screening or masks. So they started to move pretty quickly. So I think we're fortunate in Western Massachusetts to have a strong, in this case, a strong manufacturing component, which you don't see everywhere as part of our economy. And they're also nimble enough to be able to move. But, you know, I mean, I think probably most everybody would tell you they're cautiously optimistic, but certainly when they're talking about that cautious part, they've got an eye towards what's happening. You know, and are we going to get a recession? What's happening with the interest rates and, you know, how that impacts consumer confidence and consumer spending. And, you know, I think, you know, the next, you know, few months are certainly going to be important to that analysis.
Absolutely. And you had mentioned the plans that you currently have to focus on workforce development. Are there any other exciting projects that you're really looking forward to bringing to life through the EDC?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a real opportunity. I do think that we need to, as certainly as an economy, but even as a population in Western Mass, I do think we need to grow. I think there has to be a growth component to everything because, you know, somebody significantly smarter than me said, if you're not growing, you're dying. And, you know, we've seen our population trends in Western Mass in some cases decline or be flat and, you know, very little growth in a couple of communities, mostly because of immigration. But I do think, you know, one of the things that we can do to help that is to look at getting more active in a couple of sectors, if you will, that we have not particularly participated in the past. So I think the investments that are being made in cyber are important. So you're going to see a new cyber center over at the Union Station in Springfield, which will be part of a statewide network. We are going to be one of the few standing centers in the state. So I think that that's going to, again, be an attraction. And that is going to really be focused on probably four aspects to it. There certainly is a higher ed component to it in terms of education and educating the workforce around cyber. And let's be honest, cyber breaches and security, that issue is not going to go away probably ever. You know, and so we got to try to have the good guys a little bit ahead of the bad guys. And so, you know, that work is going to be state of the art. So I think there's a real role for our colleges and universities. STIC will be the financial lead, but BayPath has played a huge part early on here, as UMass will as well. And again, we'll call on all the colleges and universities. So Elms and AIC and everybody else will absolutely have a part to play here in Westfield State University. So they will all, as well as the community, the other community colleges. So there'll be a higher ed component for sure. I think there will be a business to business component to it where companies, particularly manufacturers, that are going to have to be able to be cyber certified. And in some cases, they may not yet know what they don't know, but they're going to have skills training, and they're going to have workforce development, and they're going to have cyber, you know, plans, and they're going to have to be updated. So I think there's an opportunity to work with our businesses, which is obviously important from an EDC perspective. There will also be a component where they will work with municipalities to upgrade and help upgrade their systems. And, you know, as somebody who's spent a long time and really loves municipal government, I also understand that municipal government does not have the ability to make the constant and needed investments in cyber, in IT, that it probably needs to be state of the art. So I think that the cyber center will provide some relief in that respect. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, there is a military component to it, which, you know, we may not be the most active on that statewide, but there, you know, again, the military and the missions that they are now performing are more high tech or more cyber related, cyber attacks and security related. So there is an opportunity, and certainly both Barnes and Westover and the military operations there have shown interest in what may happen there. So I do think that that's a sector that is relatively nascent, but will be able to grow and expand. And certainly from a workforce perspective, I think there's real opportunities for us there. And then I do think that there's opportunities when we start talking about development of clean tech. And by that, I mean renewable energies, water technologies, again, across the board, whether it's water delivery systems or wastewater systems or water protection systems. You know, I think there, as well as building technologies, you know, UMass is clearly a leader in all these fields. They're one of the few climate change centers in the country, and they're doing some really good work there. I think with some smart strategic investment, and by that I do mean money from the state, I think that those operations, and particularly around UMass being the flagship, I do think that there's a real opportunity to grow into that field, which, again, similar to cyber, I don't think is going to go away. Right. I think when you look long term for job creation and stability, if you will, it's a good investment for everybody. And so when people look to say, how can we help the Western Mass economy? I do think that that means strategic investments in our economy and in perhaps in specific institutions, but is purposeful and intentional in order to have job growth and create business relationships which can grow. And kind of overlaying all that all, and I know I've thrown a lot out there, but I do think that it would be really beneficial and a really smart investment for the state to invest even more money. And it's done a pretty good job over from the Patrick administration to the Baker administration. But now it's time to really get broadband and internet access to everybody. In this day and age, I think that it's really a requirement that you have good internet access. Mm. And so that means building it out. And in some cases, that means building it out when a private company might not be willing to do that because there's not the return on investment, particularly when you are looking at some of the low income families that are in certain sections of our urban areas or our thinly populated areas in the urban areas. There's just not enough people to make the payback on that investment. So I think that's where the state should come in with big numbers and build that out so that everybody has that access, because you can't ask people to live in a community if they don't have internet access. You can't ask them to work from home if they can't connect. You can't ask them to go to school remotely and take classes if they can't connect. So I just think that, you know, if there was one single thing that you could do that would help the economy for everybody, it would be connect everybody up. And I don't mean pay for free forever, by the way, but I mean, give them the opportunity to make those connections and do it in a quality way.
I love that. And now shifting gears a little bit, this might be a difficult answer or question for you to answer with how many businesses you work with, but what would you say are your favorite local businesses to support?
So you were just trying to get me in all kinds of trouble.
Showing favoritism.
Thank you very much for that. So, you know, I will go back and I will say the local restaurants, you know, so, you know, in Westfield, and I live in Westfield, so the Tavern and, you know, certainly Two Rivers Burritos, but, you know, we've got Circuit Coffee, which is right in downtown Westfield, and Mina's Wine and Spirits, and, you know, I mean, Chrissy G's Bakery, and, you know, I mean, the list could go on, and the more I mention, the more trouble I'm going to get in. Don't mention, but I do think it's important to support your local small businesses. You know, you might pay a little bit more, but, you know, if you're going and you need something for a gift or a housewarming present, you know, you can go to Rosewoods and pick it up. And, you know, they're the individuals that turn around and support, you know, the Little League teams and the Girl Scouts and the church groups, you know, and, you know, they hire people and, you know, those dollars all stay local. You know, they're not getting on a plane and going, you know, to some other country or, you know, some other state. Those dollars are all staying here in the local community. So, you know, my wife and I are at the stage where, you know, we like to be able to go out. And, you know, when we do, mm-hmm. we like to try to go local.
Love that. Rick, this has been such an awesome episode. You're extremely insightful with all that you're doing with the EDC. And I've loved learning about all that you've been a part of and all the projects that you're working on. And I'd love if you could share with our listeners where they can find you or connect with the EDC online in case they'd like to learn more.
Well, westernmassedc.com is the website. And, you know, we do have a free newsletter, and we actually just published for the first time, Board Driven. Shout out to my Vice President, Chief of Staff, Ziamara Delabato, who put together our first ever annual report. So we're happy to send that along as well. So
awesome. And I will link to those in the show notes in case our listeners missed out. They can click through there. But Rick, thank you so much again for coming on today.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Right Here in Mass. We hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed recording it. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, follow us on social media, and share our podcast with your network. See you next week.